Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us today. Thanks for hanging around. If you've been listening already, we appreciate that. Obviously, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. And if you just tuned in, see what you get to look forward to. Just listening to the show not only makes you more intelligent, but people believe that you're more intelligent. That's like the gift that keeps on giving, isn't it? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm excited about having Ray Keating back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Ray is Chief Economist for Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, an organization you've heard me speak up many times on the show. Karen Kerrigan, Ray's boss and the chairman and the founder of the SBEC, was an original member of our show way back in 97, and Ray's been with us almost that long. He's the author of DC by the Numbers, New York by the Numbers, and US by the Numbers. You get the idea here, folks. He's our good friend, Ray Keating. Welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Doing great. It's good to have you back, as always.
Oh, great to be here.
Ray, one of the things that my audience has heard me speak of many times over the last few years is the concept of intellectual property. And one of the big messages that I've tried to get across myself and with our experts and Brain Trust members is just the fact that they have intellectual property. Small business owners actually own intellectual property. They're creating it. They need to protect it. They need to value it as they would inventory or a vehicle or a building or anything like that. So on one end of the spectrum is I'm trying to make sure small business owners realize that this is an asset that they have, that they're creating every day. On the other side of the spectrum, we've got people trying to steal that stuff, and we need to be protecting it. And one of the things that the U.S. has a big problem with right now, and that the people I talk to, like yourself, say is one of the biggest challenges we have in terms of the future of our own economy, is the protection of our intellectual property. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. You hit the nail on the head. Small business owners need to be aware of protecting intellectual property, just like they would set up an alarm system in their shop and protect their tangible property. They've got to protect their intellectual property, and it's more critical now than ever before because we're in such a knowledge-based economy, and that's really the strength of the U.S. as we look out globally, and it's therefore more important internationally because we're so much more integrated today, and the internet and telecommunications technologies and computer technology has made the world, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but it has made the world so much smaller. And that's great for entrepreneurs and small businesses because they can reach out to parts of the world to sell their goods and services that they were never able to before. But again, this all, they have to be wary of protecting their intellectual property, and it goes from the big guys all the way down to little guys. And you know, President Bush was over in China recently and trying to poke and prod that country's leadership into getting serious about protecting intellectual property. And you know, you hear, again, a lot of people say, oh, China, the international marketplace, why do I care about that as a small business owner? Well, you need to. So much of our economy now is tied to intellectual property, and when you look at the international marketplace, small exporters and small importers and all those folks are intimately involved in the international market.
Well, there's no question about it, and it's growing, and the small business exporting element is growing every day as a component of our marketplace. But you know, Ray, you were talking about globalization and all that. We can't stop the migration of jobs, the seeking of more efficiencies in terms of labor by companies. We can't stop that. We're not going to stop that. It's a natural evolution of the marketplace, and I don't want to stop it. I think it's a great efficiency that we're going to benefit from. But the U.S. economy cannot afford, we have to be vigilant. We have to be very strong and strict about our intellectual property. If you said to me, okay, Jim, I'm going to give you one of two choices. You can pick which one. Either you can do away with the nuclear capability of China with one push of a button, or push this button and you can ensure that China never steals anything, any intellectual property from us. I would take the second button. What do you think?
Wow, I don't want to have to be. I'd like, can I push A and B?
No,
but
no, you can only
have, what you're saying.
You can only have one. I'm trying to make, you know. I mean,
you're
I know
making
that
a point, and you're absolutely right. The importance of it in terms of our economy cannot be, you know, people cannot avoid this issue. I mean, just to give you an idea.
Hold on to that thought, Ray. But the point, I think you made my point because you had a hard time making that decision. You know, I didn't have a hard time making it, but Ray said, I don't know which one I want. It's that serious, folks. 2012, stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. Both of them are there. One comes on Sunday, one comes Monday through Friday, and they're all free, and they're all available to you to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and also to make all of that, all of the availability of what of everything that we do as convenient for you as possible. And that's the reason why we're glad to let you know that Ray Keating is with us, and he is will be part of our blog today, and that goes out. So, Ray, you're pretty excited about that, aren't you?
I am. I'm always excited when I'm included in your blog.
It's all a you're all a Twitter about that, aren't you, Ray? tell us about the SBE Council.
Oh, sure. We're a membership organization. We have about 70,000 members across the country, and we work on public policy issues from A to Z that impact small businesses and entrepreneurs, and you can get all sorts of great stuff, updates and articles and studies at our website, which is www.sbecouncil.org, and it's updated almost daily, and all sorts of good stuff on there.
And folks, many of you have written to me and said, how can I make a difference outside of my marketplace? How can I have an impact in Washington, D.C., or in my state house? How can I do that? I'm so busy making payroll. And I've written back to you, and I've said, find an organization that can represent you, that you believe represents the issues and the interests of small businesses. And, folks, SBE Council is one of those. In fact, there is no organization, pound for pound, that does more for small business than the SBE Council. And I certainly encourage you to check their website out and to join their organization, to give them to pay their very, very, very nominal, very small amount of annual fees. So much of what they do is available to you for free on the website, but I also encourage you to contribute to them so that they can continue the good work that they do. Ray, and I do want to thank you, as I always do, you and Karen and the others, for all that you do for small business.
No, very much appreciate that, Jim. Absolutely.
Ray, let's get back to the intellectual property issue. I want to make another point about how micro the Chinese will go to steal somebody's intellectual property. I was talking with some African women. I moderated a panel on commerce with Africa a couple of years ago, and I was talking to some African women who said that there are women there's this garment, there's this one type of a wrap type of garment that Southern African women love. It's just it ties them to their roots, and the African women who live in Europe love these because they it really does tie them to their roots. They're so far away from home, and so they told me that these women are walking around Paris and London and Madrid, thinking that they bought this authentic South African garment, and then they find out that was actually made in China.
Right.
China ripped off the way to weave this and the colors they made it so authentic that the African women couldn't even tell it from the originals. And I mean, that's pretty micro, isn't it?
Oh, you're absolutely right, and
that's not a computer or an automobile ripoff. That's micro.
No, and you know what though? You can include computers and automobiles and all the way down the line. It's just, you know, the analysis that's been done, for example, by the U.S. Trade Office and the Department of Commerce. You know, in terms of China's violations, are just stunning. I mean, it goes from the micro that you mentioned, the films, music. You know, we hear about that all the time. Software, pharmaceuticals, textiles, as you said. Consumer goods, automotive parts, it's really just across the board. And the Trade Office, the U.S. Trade Representative, found that last year the IP infringement level in China top 90%. Now, that's just stunning.
Wow.
I mean, you translate that into dollars, it's huge losses for U.S. businesses. And,
well, according to a report that you wrote, the global trade in illegitimate goods is over $600 billion last year.
Yeah, and obviously U.S. companies get hit with a huge chunk of that they lose money on, and that translates into lost jobs. And one estimate by the Commerce Department puts it at 750,000 U.S. jobs. So this is important for everybody across the board. Whether you own a business or you're just, you know, an employee and you're trying to get ahead in your particular industry, everybody's global now, and it affects everybody. There's nobody that's avoiding this anymore.
Well, see, Ray, I think people like Lou Dobbs, which on the globalization issue, I think is dangerous. But but the thing is he ought to get off this outsourcing of America kick, and get on the this intellectual property ripoff thing. I haven't listened to his show in a while. Maybe he's been covering it, to be fair. But that's what he ought to be focusing on. That's where the danger is. Globalization is going to happen just like the tides are going to come in and out.
You know, and that's an important critical point that you made. You said that earlier. It is a natural progression in terms of our economy. You know what? At one time, more than half the people in this country worked on farms. That is no longer the case.
Right.
Are we, you know, do all those people not have jobs today? Of course not. You know, we have, what, 2, 3, 4% of our population that work on farms today because the economy changed. And these are natural progressions, and there's nothing to fear here. I mean, it's obviously sometimes, you know, change can be disturbing, and you know, people can be afraid of, is my job going to be around? But, you know, is my business going to continue? Well, you have to be able to look around and see where the market is headed and become, you know, have that ability to become mobile and agile and change as the market changes.
The biggest danger for our economy is not that a job is going to go overseas, but that our intellectual property is going to be ripped off and taken overseas. That's the bigger danger, believe it or not, folks. Tintil, we'll be right back with our good friend Ray Keating. He's going to tell us when we come back what you and I can do about all this.
Man, yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Ray Keating, Chief Economist of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, the author of DC by the Numbers, New York by the Numbers, and the U.S. by the Numbers, and that outstanding index of states we've gone. I think the last time you were here, Ray, we went over that. That's an outstanding document, a watershed document on how the states are doing with regard to creating entrepreneurial soil. Ray, how's the sports book coming? You know, I got to ask you that.
It's coming. Unfortunately, it's gotten, you know, pushed back with all sorts of other work, but it's still.
Am I going to have to speak to your editor about that, Ray?
Don't talk to. No, that's okay.
We're waiting with bated breath for your sports book, Ray.
Believe you, so am I. So is my family.
Well, see, but you've told us about it in the past. My audience, well, I wouldn't be. I have to check on it for them. They want to know.
No, that's fine. Listen, that's a good thing to do because that gets me, you know.
My inquiring minds want to know this, Ray. Ray, you've scared the bejeebers out of us over this IP stuff, this ripping off of our intellectual property. What do we do about it?
Well, I think, you know, for example, what the president was doing over in China is a good thing, and it's got to become, you know, people have got to emphasize the importance of this when they, you know, we've said it before, Jim, on this show, that that small business owners and entrepreneurs, they have a louder voice with elected officials than the average person because of their business, because they employ people. And they need to drive home the point with their elected officials in Washington that you know, they're free traders, number one. They understand where the economy is headed and increasing globalization and all the things and the power of intellectual property. And they got to make clear that it's critical that when we get into trade talks with these countries that IP protections become a major part of that effort. And you know what? It's also important to understand that this isn't just for us. You know, as much as we all are talking about the amount of economic growth that's going on in China right now, you know, if they don't institute these intellectual property protections, well, they're going to hit a brick wall, and that economic development is going to stop. You have to protect property, whether it's tangible or intangible. You have to have that foundation for your economy. Otherwise, it's not going to develop to its full capacity.
But, Ray, do we have any leverage with China? I mean, when the president was over there recently, what kind of leverage did he have with them?
Well, I think we do. I mean, when you look at the amount of trade that we do with China, it's increased dramatically in the last, you know, just 5 years, for example. You know, U.S. goods that have exported to China that we're exporting has increased by 165%, and the
but
U.S. That, imports
but those
to
are the
China
things. But those are the
well,
those are so. The things that they're buying and copying.
Well, you know what? I mean, you're right, and it's again, it's one of these difficult things, Jim. What do you do on the trade front, international front? Because you don't want to go down the path of start slapping, you know, other countries around with tariffs and things like that, because they have a tendency to retaliate, and we've that before, and that doesn't make any sense.
That's what caused the Great Depression.
So it's a very, very difficult thing. You've got to make clear this is in your best interest to have a sound property rights regime. Otherwise, your economy is not going to develop. And that's the bottom line. And we show them, because we've got that. We have to be the stellar example to the rest of the world, outside the Western world, that, look, we've got these IP protections. Our economy's knowledge base. We've got, you know, one of the highest living standards in the world. We're the global economic powerhouse. How do you think that happened? Well, this is a key part of it.
Well, but don't we have to have some allies in this? Doesn't the EU and some of the other countries have to get behind us on this? And are they?
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. They do. And you know, too, you know, I haven't followed in terms of how the EU has done this strategy wise. You know, I can't assess how well they've done it, but they are certainly on board with efforts like this.
But you know, Ray, it's not enough. It's, you know, I don't know. This is a tough one, Ray, because, you know, let's say that the president goes over and he gets the politicians in line. China is the wild, wild west.
Oh, it is.
I mean, think about it, in terms of that marketplace over there, it's the wild, wild west.
Well, it's not, you know, if only it were the wild, wild west, I would say to you. You know what? If only it was, but it's not. It's a communist country. It's trying to emerge, I think, at least partially from communism. But you know what? That obviously communism is not something that lends itself to property rights.
Well, and
that's the regime they've worked under for.
Well, never mind. But never mind the politicians. I'm talking about just the companies. I mean, those companies have their own ability to steal or not to steal. You know, outside of, and they don't. They're not always beholden to the governments either, I think. Hey, Ray, give us your website again, please.
www.sbecouncil.org.
And also Newsday, right? You're a columnist for Newsday.
Every Monday and Newsday. You got it.
Check it out, folks. That's newsday.com if you want to read his column. He's the token conservative. Thanks, Ray, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Ray Keating, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. I'll see you on the other side of the news. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.